Hey guys, Chad O'Brien here for Kaiju Pop, and we're doing something a little special here. So, as you may know, the Tokyo Game Show finished up last weekend, and I was able to get plenty of interviews with some motivated developers working on lots of interesting little projects, or big projects, but normally we try to fit these within a regular podcast, but I thought it might be more interesting just to have them as a separate thing for you to listen to and enjoy. So we've got commentary on lots of different games here. I'm just going to list them out. So number one, we've got Tokyo Dark, which is a horror slash detective kind of adventure game. Number two, we have Star Mazer DSP, which is a side-scrolling shoot 'em up that's kind of a spin-off of the main Star Mazer game. And number three, we've got Read Only Memories, a cyberpunk slash futuristic point-and-click story. And number four, we have Will, where it's a text adventure where you basically are God and you manipulate the lives of these people. And our last one, number five, we have La Nota, which is a DJ Max-inspired kind of RPG. So go ahead and have a listen and hope you enjoy. We'll have some hands-on information and sites up as well. So take a look and goodbye. Hello everyone, this is Chad O'Brien for Kaiju Pop, and we're here at Tokyo Game Show 2016, and I'm here with Maho Williams, and we're looking at Tokyo Dark. So this was a Kickstarter project, kind of a light novel adventure story, and well, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about it?
Yep, so Tokyo Dark is a fusion between Western-style point-and-click and Japanese-style visual novels. And players play as Ayami Ito, who is a police detective, and she's trying to solve the case of her missing partner. So players can explore Tokyo, investigating, and gather the clue, and try to solve this mystery. So it's a really, really good story. And if you are interested in the anime, manga, you will love our art style as well. So yeah, and we'll be releasing on Steam, PC, and Mac. 2017, so please look forward to it.
Yeah, so this was originally a Kickstarter thing, and one of the things I was really interested in was the spin system. Mm. So every kind of more than even games like Telltale games or things like that, every decision kind of affects what happens to you, and let's talk a little bit about that. Like, what is that?
So spin system, so spin stand for sanity, professionalism, and investigation, and neurosis. So every decision you make, and every choice you make, it's basically change these stats. So depending on these stats, the ending will be different, and also that some of the choices could be different depending on these stats. So this shows Ayami's basically the status of her mentality or investigation skills, and yeah, so it's a point and click adventure game, but it's kind of a role-playing element in it too, so that makes the game itself very different from the other games. Yeah.
So there are definitely multiple endings. Is this something that there are many, many branching paths along the dialogue, or does it just change at the end, or?
So as I said, that each stats actually affect on the choices. So therefore, of course, like story changes, characters' reaction to Ayami will be different, and. Then, therefore, the endings are different. Yeah, so it's not like only the endings are different, but every choice is kind of matters. Yeah.
And I've also noticed like the artistic style is very, very dark and very grim. Right away from the start in the subway, it was kind of a horror world kind of thing. And so I'm just kind of interested what kind of influences shaped that side of the story.
From Western side, we are really, really we really love the point and click, the Black Ball Legacy, or also Heavy Rain as well. It's like branching stories and And also from Japanese side, we are influenced by Higurashi no Nakoro ni When Cicada Cry. Very black, dark, but at the same time, it's really cute. It's very Japanese, I think. Also, like Ju-on and that kind of J-horror as well. So it's kind of all mixed.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time, and hope to see this soon. Oh, just a quick question. I don't think there is, but is there any plan to bring this to any kind of console or just PCs for now?
Now, at this moment, we can promise, like, yeah, to be released on PC and Mac only. But depending on the sales, yes, there will be some consideration, of course. Yeah.
All right, well, looking forward to it. Thank you a lot.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah.
Hi, this is Chad O'Brien for Kaiju Pop, and we're here at Tokyo Game Show 2016, and we're talking to Don Thacker at
Imagos
Softworks. And right now we are looking at Star Mazer DSP, and first I have to ask, what does the DSP stand for?
Not allowed to tell you. It's a secret story thing.
Okay.
It'll be revealed at the end of this game, or if you play Star Mazer, the larger game, it's revealed in there. But that comes out next year, so it's going to be a while before anybody knows.
All right, so for right now, it's Dat Secret Project. Okay.
Dat Secret Project. I love it.
I actually backed the Star Mazer on Kickstarter.
You did?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah, which is kind of silly because I don't really PC game a lot of a lot of various issues. But
that's okay. Star Mazer proper is coming out on all major platforms, including the Nintendo 3DS.
Awesome.
Because of Playism got us that deal. So Nintendo 3DS for that.
There you go.
Sorry, that's what I wanted most.
Props to Playism. They are in force out here.
Yeah, we are dominant. If you look around, like this whole like quarter is Playism.
Yep.
They're the best.
We will be talking to Read Only Memories guys in a bit.
Please do. They're the best.
Yep. But we're talking about Star Mazer right now. Why don't you tell me about DSP?
Yeah. Okay. So Star Mazer DSP is a prequel, technically, to Star Mazer. It's an offshoot game. We were developing Star Mazer, and we have our friends at Pixel Jam, which is another game development company. They did Dino Run and Potato Man Seeks the Truth and a whole bunch of Adult Swim games. I worked with them for some time. We were very close friends. And I had one of their guys, Miles Tillman, who's a very, very close friend of mine. He was working on Star Mazer proper with us. He was doing a bunch of black box trigonometry and a bunch of cool like bullet pattern stuff for Star Mazer proper. And he was building these cool black boxes, and he'd deliver them to us weekly, and we'd play them, and it was very fun. Except that we realized that we were like dumping all this time into like playing these demos. He made like a little demo area. It was just really effing fun, like really great. And we realized, holy crap, like this alone, just this sort of unique, very Pixel Jammy, very Imago style of shmupping was very fun. It didn't have a game to it yet. It was just the mechanics. But the mechanics were really neat. So we decided that we would actually excise those and make them, like, express them really, really fast, very arcadey. Star Mazer's not fast. Star Mazer is a thinking game. It's a point-and-click adventure shoot-em-up. So there's a lot of consideration going into your playing, right? When you shmup, you actually can, in Star Mazer proper, you can actually like thrust forward and thrust back and slow down the action, and it's very thinky. You can talk your way out of boss battles, and if you get hit, you don't explode, you crash, and when you crash, there's a whole story involved in that. So it's not an arcade shoot-em-up, right? But we were loving the arcade shoot-em-up feel, and we decided, let's release an arcade shoot-em-up game in the Star Mazer universe. Takes place 230 years before Star Mazer, but an arcade shoot-em-up isn't actually, there's a billion of those. I'm a huge fan. I'm a gigantic shmup fan. It's like my second favorite genre of game ever, the first being point-and-click adventure games, which is why I'm making Star Mazer. We decided to try to fix all the problems that I find in horizontal scrolling shooters. The first is, I don't like, from a story element, that your pilot, like, my pilot is Hawk Ace Man. He's the best pilot in the universe, only if he gets hit once, his ship explodes, and he comes back again, Hawk Ace Man, in the same ship, because he collected a letter P or something, and now he can fly again. That doesn't make any sense to me. So, when I was a kid, that always bothered me. Like, didn't I just kill Hawk? Isn't Hawk dead? I thought Hawk died a long time ago. So, what we ended up doing was, instead, giving you a bunch of really crappy pilots, like, billions of them, and you just blow through them, and their ships are terrible ships, which is why they explode when they get hit one time. There are better pilots in the game, but you have to unlock them, and there's a lot of work to do to get them. So that's solving that problem. Second is replayability. Like, once you kind of memorize your level in a shmup, you can kind of blindfold yourself and tear your... I love Gate of Thunder. It's one of my favorite shmups of all time. Yeah. But I can play Gate of Thunder while having a conversation and eating a meal. Like, it is not complicated or difficult for me anymore. I can do it by sound alone. So it's lost its replayability for me. Even though I love it, it sounds good, it looks good, it's very hard for me to replay it. I wanted a game that I could infinitely replay. Even though it does have 9 levels, it does go from a planet surface to 10,000 light years away, it's a big game with bosses and all this, it's still infinitely replayable because every time you play a level, the level's different, the boss formations are different, your pilot, of course, is different because there's infinite pilots, the ship that you're flying is different, it has different stats, different looks, different weapon combinations, so it's you can sit down and play for 10 minutes and enjoy it, or you can sit down and play for 10 hours and have a really great time. Effectively, it's a retro-sexy, horizontal-scrolling shoot-em-up with roguelike elements set in the Star Maze universe. And it's really fun. It's the only shmup that I play constantly. It's my game. I'm testing it constantly. Right. When people are, I don't know if you noticed, when you guys walked over here, I was actually just playing.
Yeah, I like, saw that.
That's what I want to be doing that. It's fun. It's got a cat admiral, who's a cat and an admiral. And it's really cool because in Star Mazer, which takes place 230 years after Star Mazer DSP, Cat Admiral's a character, but he's a grizzled old guy with like a crutches and, you know, not a crutch, a cane. And he like, you know, like, get out there and fight kind of thing. But in this game, he's like younger. He only lives to be like 60 to 80 years old because he has a normal lifespan, but he has 8 of them. Technically, but he's in the one. So in Star Mazer, he's an old character. What's really cool is if you get enough score, you can unlock handmade characters, special characters.
Okay.
And they're all related to the Star Mazer universe. Mm-hmm. A couple of the characters actually exist in Star Mazer as well, just really young here, because not everybody has small lifespans. Some characters are relatives or connected to other Star Mazer story elements in big ways. You can actually find out a whole bunch about the Star Mazer story just by playing this arcade game.
Okay.
Which is really neat. There are some secret elements. I know that in Star Mazer we have a story module wherein you actually find a DSP pilot who is trapped in time, and he doesn't understand like the whole... It's 230 years later, everything's different, and though this is a fun, funny arcade action shooter, in the Star Mazer story, the full Star Mazer story, the point-and-click adventure story, this war, the Great War that Star Mazer DSP takes place in, is actually considered like one of the most egregious, horrible human grist mills of all time. Billions of lives lost. And everybody looks down, look like they put their head down when they think about it or whatever. So you've just had 10 hours of hanging out, having a great time, blowing up these cool guys and talking to a cat admiral. And in reality, you're partaking in like what is effectively like this genocidal war that later you kind of get lambasted for having a good time. It's good. It's fun.
Yeah, hindsight is 2020.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I've never heard the term retro sexy before, so thank you for bringing that.
Yeah, so we have, this is actually, I have two kind of taglines. Star Mazer proper. Ooh, who do we have? New weapon, though. That's called the Fist. The Fist. The graphics are kind of shitty for it. It's not done yet. But you do tear through a bunch of stuff. It's pretty cool. So this is early access, man. We're working on it.
Yeah, no worries.
But for Star Mazer, a retro sexy point-and-click adventure shoot 'em up in space, which you know because you backed
it.
That's
right. Yeah.
This is a pixel-pretty, roguelite, horizontal-scrolling shooter set in the Star Mazer universe. Pretty cool, pretty neat. There is something we're doing right now for early access. Right now it's available on early access for $10. It'll never be more than $10. There's no microtransactions. There's no any of that crap. You buy the game once, you have it forever. If you get it now on early access, I would implore anybody who wants the game to get it as soon as possible. Not just because I need to eat, because I do.
I have a team
of 9 to
feed. That's number one.
Not just because of that, but because we're doing a contest every week after TGS. We're doing like score attack or boss rushes or weapon tests on our beta branch of the game, and people who win those contests can actually get in-game prizes. And then when we get to near to launch, which is in March 2017, you can get actual physical goods like a DSP T-shirt or DSP posters and that kind of thing, just for doing early access.
Do they become pilots themselves?
You can. That's actually one of the prizes.
Awesome.
You can become one of the unlockable pilots. So that's actually a really cool thing that I don't think anybody's done before on early access.
Yeah.
We've gamified early access. We've kind of made it like a campaign rather than just like, here's our game. It's not done by it anyway. We don't want that. We want you to support it, be part of it, almost like it's a Kickstarter campaign or some kind of other really cool active campaign. We update every week. We're very active on our forums. We're very active on the Steam dev forums. We're super in your face about everything. I don't know if you can tell, but very in your face, dude. That's how we love to run things.
That's the best way to be. So,
thank you.
You know, all the passion and everything is great.
Thank you.
So this is an early access now.
Yes.
When is the the full release planned?
Full release is March.
Okay.
I know so because PlayAsm will be very angry if we don't release that time. So it's March 2017 for sure. They've already printed up stuff. It's coming out. There it might go. Be busted. We might have to have a day zero update. I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking. No, no, but yeah, definitely March. It was originally going to be planned for October, but we took it to a bunch of festivals and a bunch of cons, and people really liked it but had suggestions, and we watched people play it, and we decided to change our scope just a little bit to accommodate a lot of really cool features we see people really wanted. We've already put a bunch of them in this build, and we're adding a whole bunch more. We're very active on our forums, pay very close attention to our customer feedback. We're trying to make a game that you'll enjoy. I'm sorry, I am not an auteur. I'm not here to like make my vision of the perfect horizontal scrolling shooter. I do want that. I do want my idea of the perfect horizontal scrolling shooter to be expressed, but I can't do that alone. I need the audience to help out.
That's right.
I need people who want it.
That social power.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
DSP.
DSP. Ah.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
Yeah, looking forward to the release. And is this ever coming to consoles, do you think?
It depends on how well it does. If we sell a bunch of early access, we can probably convince PlayAsm to give us a little bit more money to like
port
it. Also, you can find us on Twitter.
Yeah.
You can follow Imago Softworks. It's Imegosoftworks. It's long and complicated. You can just follow Star Mazer. That's STARR. That's twice as many R's as in any other Star game. Star Mazer. STARR, MAZER on Twitter, on Vine, on Instagram, on fucking GeoCities, on whatever you want. It's fine. I'm just kidding. I don't think GeoCities even exists anymore. But check it out. You want to keep playing?
It still exists.
Oh, it does. Okay. It does exist. Crap. We don't actually have a GeoCities page. I am screwed now.
We'll get our fact checkers on that.
Yeah. Pay attention to us. We're everywhere. Yep. We're trying to sell this game because we want to keep making more of it. Star Mazer's coming out next year, I think. That's the plan. But, you know, if we run out of money because you guys didn't buy the game, I'm in trouble.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for the interview, man.
Hello, this is Chad O'Brien for Kaiju Pop, and we're here at Tokyo Game Show 2016, and right now we are talking to JJ Signal of Midboss, and we've been looking at read-only memories. So why don't we start by you just telling us what read-only memories is about?
Sure. So the pitch that I basically give most of the time is that 2064 read-only memories is a cyberpunk adventure game based in Neo San Francisco in the year 2064. You play the role of a journalist whose apartment is broken into by the world's first sapient robot, Turing, whose creator, an old friend of yours, has gone missing. So throughout the game, you're buddying up with this robot, trying to figure out why has their creator gone missing, what is the connection between that and the megacorporation they work for, and what is the bigger underlying conspiracy beyond that? It is a point-and-click adventure game. There's multiple dialogue choices and options to go through. We break up some of the dialogue with different puzzles for the player to go through, as well as multiple endings depending on how they handle those situations.
So this is all point-and-click. There's no combat or anything like that.
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit of combat. Mostly towards the end.
But definitely not a focus.
Not a focus.
Which is cool. In the game, so you mentioned Turing is the first sapient robot, but there are also these wrongs. And,
relationship organizational managers.
Right.
Yeah,
and so, what is the difference between them?
So for the most part, ROMs are basically just another name for personal robot assistants. They come in all different shapes and sizes for different types of purposes. They are just standard AIs. They're a virtual intelligence, really, so more of a, like a VI. So they can interpret things, and in a way, they're like an advanced Siri that over time they'll learn like your likes and dislikes and stuff, and then make recommendations based off of those. Whereas Turing is a ROM who now has not only self-awareness, but the ability to make judgments on their own, like a human being. Though, unlike most cyberpunk games, Turing isn't striving to be human. Turing is striving to just be themselves.
Very cool. One of one of the things that has been talked about with the game is its very inclusive nature. I remember reading, I haven't played the full game myself, but I remember reading that in the English version you can change like the pronouns to whatever you're most comfortable with. And so we're looking at the Japanese version today, and I'm just curious, like, are you able to change the way you're called here as well?
Yes.
Okay.
So Playism's been really good with trying to figure out a way to make it as close as possible to the original with its translation, while still keeping it understandable for Japan. And it was actually a little tricky trying to figure out how to do different pronouns, mostly because there's not really, like, the pronouns that exist in English, they some just don't really
right.
in Japanese,
yeah.
obviously. So we had to, like, do some research and figure out, I think one of the methods that we do is, like, prince or princess.
Okay.
For, like, sort of the words for those to signify certain genders. And I'm honestly not sure what else we're doing
okay.
for the rest of it.
That's up to the localization team.
That's up yeah. to the localization team.
Yep.
But they're definitely, like, into trying to make sure we have those options still there intact for the Japanese version.
So 2064 is actually the version for the PS4 and the Vita.
Yes.
The original one was just called Read Only Memories.
Yeah.
So are there any changes to the story or anything like that?
A little bit. So 2064 has now a fully voice-acted main cast as well as supporting cast. And based off of user feedback, we sort of enhanced some of the writing a little bit as well as some of the puzzles to make, like, motivations for certain characters a little more clear and understandable and make more sense. And for the puzzles to be a little less obtuse and more visually understandable for the player.
Cool. And then maybe just one more question here. So I'm sure this is this looks really good to the Japanese audience, but I was kind of curious, which one was more of an influence, like Eastern cyberpunk, like Akira style, or Western style, like Blade Runner?
It's sort of a blend of both. So visually, it's very heavily inspired by Japanese graphic adventure games, like Snatcher, obviously, Jesus Killed the Nobile Monster, Portopia, all kinds of older graphic adventure games. Whenever it comes to the writing, a lot of the influence comes from more like Neuromancer and Snow Crash and different more Western cyberpunk things.
Very cool. Well, so then the last question is, when can we look forward to playing it?
So for the Japanese version, it should be available, we're looking at around first quarter 2017.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the English version?
The English version of 2064 is going to be released on PlayStation 4 within the next few weeks.
Cool. Very nice. So thank you very much, and wish you well with the game.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Chad O'Brien for Kaiju Pop, and we are at Tokyo Game Show 2016. And right now, we are at, 4D Door Games. And we're talking to Miao Yi Wong, who is making a game called Will or I Will?
Will.
Will, okay. I like that the I is a different color, so I Will. But, yeah, so... this is an intriguing game for me, but why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is?
I think it is a bit hard to describe this game because it is also hard for us to show such a game in a game show in such a noise environment. This is a text-based adventure game, and in this game you are a god, and you will receive many letters from people who have troubles, different troubles. They will write their troubles on letter paper, and what you do is to cut the letter into several pieces, and every piece have a paragraph. Then some paragraphs can be moved. And if you change the order of the paragraphs, the result will be changed. It is something like if you took a picture and then you fell down, if you fall down at first and then you took a picture, the picture will be totally different. That's a simple example for this. And when you're playing the game, the story will become more and more complex, and every people have many stories. It's more like reading a novel or watching a drama.
So like you said, this is a very different game from almost anything else you'd see here. It's all text. There are some background images, and you were telling me you hope to add more art. A text adventure in 2016 is a novel idea, I think. So you said there's all kinds of different complexities in the story. I saw in the trial version, this is coming to Vita, and I was playing the Vita version. I saw first you start with just one letter, but then you start mixing with two letters at the same time. So as you keep going, are there going to be multiple possibilities?
You're right. Because the first two levels is very simple. It's just a tutorial. You have only one choice. But after that, even with two letters, if you have three or four and more movable paragraphs, the combination will be growing explosively. Maybe you will have 7 to 8 different endings in one story. And at the very end, there are maybe something more complex than two-letter case.
Okay, so there's also a wide selection of characters on the poster here. So I'm assuming that eventually all of their stories kind of interconnect?
Not all, but most part of them. The people in the game are from different countries, some from China, some from Mexico and Korea, but some people are just traveling. Yeah, those people, maybe they're traveling from China to Korea and then maybe Mexico, and they will make these people connected. Not only the gameplay make people connected, only the stories themselves are connected.
Okay, why is the title called Will here?
Yeah, this is a secret.
I've been getting a lot of that today, a lot of secret titles. It seems like a very interesting game, and I look forward to it. So you're hoping to release in 2017?
Yes, yeah. We must release it in 2017.
Well, I wish you good luck, and thank you for the interview.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Hello, this is Chad O'Brien for Kaiju Pop, and we're at Tokyo Game Show 2016. And right now, I am with Julia and Wong, and we're from Noxu Games, and we're looking at their musical RPG known as La Nota. So why don't you give us a quick introduction to the game?
The game is based on a rhythm game that you play the game with a song following the rhythm. And do flick, touch, and hold some actions on it. The feature of this game is that we have a storyline in it, and that the main characters are traveling in a world that's like lack of colors and sounds. They are going to restore the world and make it colorful and lively again. So when they are restoring the world, that is our gameplay. They play the music.
Very nice. I always love I love music games. So Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm and DJ Hero, DJ Max. And this is a very DJ Max style game. So
Our game designer loves DJ Max series again.
Yeah. So, but it is a little different. Like, tell me about like the circle. So it's a full on circle here.
Yes. The feature of the main gameplay is that the circle will move by the rhythm and accompanying the motion you are doing to the circle. And each of the charts are exclusively designed by our game designer. And in the very beginning, we just think that we are going to make a rhythm game, and then we draw a line here. But we find it very boring, so then we draw a circle and think, if the circle is just stayed there and didn't move, that is also very boring. So we so our game designer and the programmer just think, how about we make it move? And so the programmer did some magic, then it could move.
Very nice. So tell me about like the RPG side. What are we doing? How many characters are there, and are there classes and that kind of thing?
Currently, they are Physica, the girl, and Ritmo, the boy. And we are going to add more characters in the game in the future updates. The most RPG side of the game maybe is the map exploring, such as when you touch somewhere in the map, the dialogue bubble will pop out and tell you that this is going to a town.
Okay.
And although this is the full cleared version of the game, so the map is already colorful, but when you start from the beginning, the map is black and white and with a fog on it, and you can explore it that just as you are playing the main character and traveling. And in addition, we have a system of item collection. And the items there are some introduction of the item that you will tell you what you have acquired and what it could be, maybe what role it plays in the game. As this is the device that you see in the gameplay, that it tells you that the main character are holding this device and restoring the world.
I see. I also notice here, looking at the item descriptions, there are some words that are different colors. Are those just important words? Can you click on them as well?
No, sorry. But maybe that's a good idea. We may add it in a future update. We may discuss that.
Okay, very interesting. So this is coming out. Is it already out? Or?
It's already out on App Store and on Google Play. And currently we have main story and side story. Main story are prologue, and chapter 1, and we are making chapter 2, and will be released in October.
Very nice.
And side story chapter 1 is already out.
So when you buy this, you don't have to buy individual chapters.
In App Store, that is a pay to a premium game, and when you pay the fees, $1.99, and when you download the game, then you can enjoy the main story all along.
Okay.
Including the chapter 2 we are making. But the side story is an in-app purchase, and you may preview it in the game before you buy it. If you like it, then you can buy it. Because this is the main story is about their traveling and their journey, and the side story is mostly about the what characters are thinking and doing in their
free time.
Yeah, right. Building up the character.
I see. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the show.
Thank you.